Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Tzadi. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Klipe Egoizim, Klipe Rimoinim, Setis Upua. These are different raw materials used in the making of dyes. How much of that those materials would result in a violation of the Iser Hotzah? Kedei Litzboa Beged Katan. We speak about the Iser Hotzah. We're talking about the transfer of something from one domain to another on Shabbos, from a private to a public domain, or vice versa. The amount of these materials that would result in a violation is the amount needed for dyeing a small article of clothing. And in our previous shiur, we mentioned that the small article of clothing was the cloth that sits atop a netting that one wears over his head and women wear over their heads. The Gemara asks a question, however, the Ramini, we raise a contradiction, Hamotzi Samonim Shuyim, one who carries out ready-made dyes. Shuyim literally is soaked. It's the raw material that has been soaked and the dyes have been emitted. How much of the dyes would one carry out on Shabbos and be in violation of Hoitzah? Kedei Litzpoh Bohen Dugma Li'ira. Even without translating Dugma Li'ira, we want to note that it's a smaller amount than Kedei Litzpoh Beged Katan. The Dugma Li'ira amount is the amount that would be necessary to dye a piece of fabric, a piece of wool, in order to show someone the nature or the quality of the dye if they were interested in buying it. For our purposes, the problem is that our Mishnah, when it comes to dye materials, gives a larger shiur of dyes than this Tanaic source. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Bar Avua, Lefi she'ein odom toireach lishrois sa mimonim litzboa bohen dugma li'ira. What was just said is there is a difference between the raw materials in anticipation of making them into dyes and ready-made dyes. So that the source that the Gemara brought in its question, where the Gemara said, V'ramini hamotzi samon ishrim, the answer to the question is in the source itself. The source there is dealing with ready-made dyes. So when something is ready-made, even a small amount will have significance. And as we've said many times, when we learn about the Isur of Hoitzah, one is in violation of Hoitzah only when he carries out something of significance. So a ready-made dye will have significance, even a small quantity of it. However, when you're dealing with raw materials, this is what the Gemara just said, Ein odom torech, a person doesn't trouble himself, lishrois samimonim, to soak raw materials that turn into dyes, if all their intention is for an amount needed for dugma li'ira. So our Mishnah, which speaks about Kedei Litzboa Beged Katan, was talking about the amount of raw materials that are made into dyes. As far as that is concerned, a person would carry out a greater quantity because he won't trouble himself to prepare a dye, to prepare dyes for something less than a Beged Katan. So just to summarize again, succinctly, there is a difference between the amount when you're dealing with ready-made dyes versus the raw materials in anticipation of making them into dyes. Another substance that was mentioned in the Mishnah, and this was in the context of different substances that serves as cleansing agents or detergents, Mei Raglaim. Now, Mei Raglaim literally is urine, and that is a substance that can be used in washing clothing. Tana Mei Raglaim ad Arboim Yom. The Mei Raglaim that we are speaking about that apparently is useful as a detergent is urine that it has sat around for up till 40 days. It could be that maybe beyond that it loses its potency. But that's something that's that one would have to look into. For our purposes, though, the urine spoke about is if it's up till 40 days. Neser, another one of the detergent materials. Tana, the Tanaic source explains, Neser Alexandris, the Neser that the Mishnah speaks about as a detergent, and its respective quantity is the Alexandrian Neser, Velo Neser Anpantarin, and not the Anpantarin type Neser. Anpantarin is a name of a place just like Alexandris. Alexandris. The Gemara continues, Boris, another cleansing agent. Here the Gemara wants to know what is Boris. So Omar Rav Yehuda, Zeh Choyl. Boris is Choyl. Choyl is dirt or sand. V'hotanya ha-Boris v'ha-Chol. But we have a Tanaic source that seems to treat Boris as something distinct from Choyl. Elomai Boris. Here's the second attempt. That's why I have a number two. A few lines later, you'll see a number three. So in the second attempt, in trying to figure out what is Boris, Elomai Boris, Kavrisa. Kavrisa is explained as being gofris. Gofris is sometimes translated as sulfur, but for our purposes, what we want to emphasize in this Gemara is that gofris is a non-plant item. We'll call it a mineral item. The Gemara asks, Mesve, we challenge this explanation. We have a source, and this source features rules concerning the Shemitah year, Shvius, which is the sabbatical year, which is a realm of halacha dealing with plants and agriculture. So it says in that source, Hosifu Alehen, there was added to the list regarding things that are relevant to the rules of Shemitah, the following plants. And we're not going to translate them, we're going to emphasize on the presence of Boris in this list. It says, Hachal Vitzin, the Halaonin, the Hal Inun, the Haboris, the Oihel. So in this source, you see Boris, we dashed, underlined it, and it figures as a plant. Now, the Isalkadaita Kavrisa, if you're going to try to explain Boris as Kavrisa, which we said was gofris, which is a mineral, Kavrisa mi Isa b'shvias, does Kavrisa figure in the rules of Shvias? The Ha Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Ze haklal, the following is the rule. Kol sheyesh lo ikur yesh lo shvias. Anything that has roots is connected to the rules of shvias. V'she'ein lo ikur, something that doesn't have roots. For example, minerals. Ein lo shvias is not connected to the rules of shvias. So how can you suggest, as suggestion number two was, that Boris is kavrisa when we see Boris in a list of things that is relevant or connected to the rules of Shvias? Elo, my Boris. So then, therefore, what is Boris? Ohala. The Gemara asks, well, Tanya, but we have a Tanaic source that treats them separately. Baha Boris v'ohala. So Boris is not ohala. They're two separate things. The Gemara says, no. Tre gavni ohala. There are two kinds of ohala. And it might be worth noting that we had a source just about five lines above where we saw in the context of Shvias, Boris together with Ohel. So it's clear that Boris is a Shvias related item and it falls under the broader category of a type of Ohala. Kimulia, another one of the agents mentioned in the Mishnah, Omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says it's known as Shlofdots. That's the Gemara's name for the Mishnah's Kimulia. Ashlag, another one of the ingredients or detergents. Omar Shmuel, Shaltinu L'chol Nechusi Yoma. I asked all of those that descend unto the seas, call them seafarers, the Omruli, and they told me Shun Ono Shmei, that Ashlag is known as by another name, Shun Ono, Umishtakach, and it's found benukva de marginisa, in crevices or in holes where pearls are found, umafki le ramsa de parzala, and it's extracted, mafki, it's extracted with a ramsa, a nail of parzala of iron. An iron nail is used to extract this substance. The Mishnah continues with other items and how much of them would result in a hotzah violation. Pilpeles kolshehu. Pilpeles, the Gemara will say what it is useful for. And Rashi points out that it's v'eino pilpel shelano. It's not our pilpel. So it's another substance, and the Gemara will tell us what it's used for. But whatever the case is, the pilpeles hotzah violation would be even a negligible amount. Kolshehu. The itron substance, kolshehu. Also, a negligible amount would result, even though it's a negligible amount, it will result in a hotzah violation. Mine besamim, different spices that produce good smell. Umine machas, and different types of iron or metals. Kolshein, even a negligible amount. And in all of these cases, we have to find out what is the significance of a kolshu amount of these substances to warrant a Shabbos violation of hoitzah. Other items, may avne hamizbeach, if one were to carry out, let's say, fragments of the stones of the mizbeach, umay ofor hamizbeach, or from the dirt of the mizbeach, mekak swarmu mekak mitpechosehem. This is a reference to worm-eaten holy scrolls. That's mekak swarm. The term mekak, we'll see later in the Gemara, is the name of the worm that consumes books or scrolls. And mitpechoseim are the cloths that are used to cover the svarim. Many of you are familiar with the cloth that covers a sefer Torah. So the worn out, the worm-eaten scrolls and worm-eaten scroll cloths, kol shehu, and even a small amount of it carried out on Shabbos will be a violation of hoitzah. Now you ask why? Shematznian oison legoinzon, because people are careful; they put them away eventually to be buried, which is the proper way of dealing with holy items. So that these items, Avnei Mizbeach, Ofer Mizbeach, Mekak Svar, Mekak Mitpechoseim, one eventually buries, puts away, and which is the way of dealing with holy items. And therefore, even a small amount, which eventually you would put away, you would bury away to as a means of preserving its dignity, and when you're dealing with something that no longer is that something that's holy, that's no longer useful, that gives its significance even with regard to Meleches Shabbos, the Meloch of Hutzah. Rav Yehuda Omer, Af Hamotzi Meshamshe Avodah Zorah Kol Shehu. Even if one, included in the Isser Hutzah that we would classify as being an example of Kol Shehu, even a negligible amount will include articles that are in service vessels of idols. Now you'll ask, well, what is the Meshamshe Vezor gain significance? So Shinema, the pasuk says, "Velo yidbak biyodcha meumo min hacherim." This pasuk is a pasuk dealing with idolatrous booty that one may have captured in a war, and the pasuk is warning, there shall be none of it, none whatsoever in your possession. So the fact that the pasuk emphasizes mu'uma, even a negligible, even a minuscule amount, even a negligible amount, is usur, is forbidden. The fact that the Torah emphasizes that, that has its ramifications with regard to the Isur Hoitzah of Shabbos. The Gemara now looks at the different items mentioned in the Mishnah. Pilpeles, kolshu lemai chazio, a negligible amount of pilpeles, of what value, what is it useful for? Answer, lereach apeh, it's good, it's useful against bad breath. Itron kolshu, the Gemara asks, lemai chazio, what is itron used for, even if it's a negligible amount, it still has value? Answer, letzil chosa. This is, it's something that one would use to relieve himself of a headache headache that affects half of one's head. Mine besomim kol shehen. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue with a Tanaic source. Hamotzi reach ra kol shehu. If one carries out bad smelling substance, that would be an Isur of Shabbos, a Shabbos violation, even if he carries out a kol shehu, a negligible amount. Now, Rashi explains here, reach ra, what is the use of a substance creating a bad odor? So he says, Rashi says, Shema ashnin bohen choylin v'tinokos kigon chilkis lahavriach me'olov mazikin. Apparently, a foul-smelling substance would be something like what Rashi calls chiltis. One would burn them, and the smoke would be effective in removing and chasing away from these people, sick people and children or infants, mazikin, demonic forces or injurious forces. The Gemara continues, Shemen Tov Kol Shehu. Even a small amount of good-smelling oil would result in a Shabbos Hotzah violation. Argomon kol shehu. Rashi says argomon tseva shetsoivin bo argomon. It's a type of dye, and it seems to be of a very expensive nature. And one would be in violation of carrying out even a kol shehu of it. Ubesulas avered achas. Rashi explains that this is a petal of a vered flower, of a young vered flower. Vered is a type of flower, some translated as a rose. So if that's an accurate translation, so it would be a singular rose petal from a young rose bush, rose plant. Mine matris kol shehen. Metallic substances, even a negligible amount. Lamai chazi, lamai chazu. What is a fragment of metal useful for? That, and as a result of that, there would be a Shabbos hoitzah violation. Answer: Tanya. We have a Tanaic source. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer Shekein roi lasos mimeno darbon koton. One can use even a small metallic fragment as a small darbon. A darbon is a prod that one would attach, let us say, to a long stick, and at the very end would attach a pointy metallic substance, something like a nail, and he would use that for hitting an animal in, let's say, in trying to motivate it to move forward while it's plowing. So even a small metallic fragment is useful as a darbon koton. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and structurally in this Gemara, we have two Lishonos, and that's what the Aleph and Beis signify that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So the source begins, Ha'oimer, Harei Olai Barzel. If a person accepts upon himself to dedicate some iron to the Beis HaMikdash, Achirim Omrim Lo Yifchos Me'amo Al Amo. So he shall give no less than a square amo of iron. Lamai chazio, what is a square amo of iron useful for? And we're talking about one who is making a dedication to the Beis HaMikdash. Omar of Yosef lekalya orev. It's useful as an orev, as a type of bird, and that they were fearful would nest or settle on the top of the Beis HaMikdash. And I would imagine that the consideration here is we know that birds make their bird deposits, and as far as the honor of the Beis HaMikdash, that would not be the place for it. So sharp metal plates were set up on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, thereby deterring the birds from nesting or from settling there. That's a kalya, literally means is to finish something off. In this case, it's to ward off the birds. Iko diamri. Now, the Gemara will be telling us basically the same thing, but in a different direction. The second version of what we just learned is Achirim Omrim. The Tanaic source reads at the Achirim, tell us, Lo Yivchos Mikalya Orev, that a person who makes a dedication to the Beis HaMikdash, he shall give no less. If he makes a metal dedication, he shall give no less than a Kalya Orev. The Kama, well, how big is a Kalya Orev? Omar Rav Yosef Amo Al Amo. It is a plate of metal that measures one Amo square. Nechoshes lo yivchos mimo kesef. If one makes a nechoshes dedication, it should be no less than a mo'o kesef. Tosfos asks regarding this particular entry, this particular issue, that it should have said in this source that lo yivchos mipruta. Nevertheless, the amount of nechoshes is often translated as copper. So one makes a copper dedication, you should give no less than a mor kesef. It could very well be that mor kesef is a, as Rashi says, it's a value, an amount. A mor is a type of coin, a silver coin, so you should give no less nechoshes than the value of a mor kesef of copper. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo Yivchos Mi Tzinuro Ketano Shel Nechoshes. Rabbi Eliezer says that one who makes a Nechoshes dedication should make present no less than a small copper fork. Lamai Chazio, what is this Tzinuro Ketano of Nechoshes useful for? Omar Abaye, Shemechatetin Bo Es Hapsilos Umekanchin Haneros. It's used for cleaning out. Mechatetin has to do with cleaning out the wicks and the oil holders of the menorah. Mekak svarim, mekak mitpochus. In our Mishnah, which was dealing with shiurim, amounts of a material that result in a hotzah violation. So we spoke about worn out or earth eaten scrolls and their cloth coverings. Here, the Gemara deals with the names of the different kinds of worms. Each different type of worm affects a different type, a different substance, and each one has a different name. So, Amar Yehuda, Mekak equals the Sifri. That means the worm that consumes scrolls, its name is Mekak. Tachach de Shiroi, the name of the worm that consume silks is called tachach. Ve'ila the invi, the worm that consumes grapes is called ila. Upe the te'eni, the te'eno is the fig, so the fig worm is called pe. Ve'hei the rimoni, if you assume that a rimon is a pomegranate, so the worm that consumes pomegranates is called hei. Kulu sakanta. Anyone who eats any of these worms, the consumption of any of these worms would result in danger. They present a lethal threat to the individual. And a story to illustrate that: Hahu Talmida Tavi Yosef Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. There was a student sitting in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, Havi Ka'ochil Teini, and he was eating figs. Omar Lei. The student said, Rebbe, koitzin yesh b'teinim. I sense thorns in the figs. Now, as everyone knows, a fig per se doesn't have thorns. So, what was the student experiencing? Omar Lei. So, Rabbi Yochanan said, katle pe ledain. The pe, and we notice how we dashed underlined it here, with a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align it with the arrow just a few lines up. Pe was the name of the te'eno worm. And what apparently happened is that this student was, while eating the figs, consumed also the fig worm. And as Lamar mentioned, they present a mortal danger to a person. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that katle is that the peh is killing this ledain, means this one. He's killing this one, this student. Hamotzi kupas horoichlin, one who carries out on Shabbos a box that contains different types of cosmetics. Rochlin are cosmetic salesmen, and they would have in their boxes many different types of perfumes and cosmetics. Afal pi sheyesh bo minim harbe, even though in the box there are many different items, many different types of cosmetic, and what happens is he's carrying out the box with all of the different kinds of meat of cosmetics in there. Eino chayav elo chatos achas. He is considered in violation of one act of hoitzah, so that if he does so inadvertently, he would bring one sin offering, and not, as one might have thought, a sin offering for each one of the items in the box. The Mishnah continues with shiurim, with different quantities with regard to hoitzah. Zarone gina, seeds, vegetable seeds, pochos mi kegrogeres. That even though seeds are something that might at times serve as a food item, nevertheless, we're talking about seeds that are designed for planting. So the Mishnah says, even though food, as far as the Isur Hotzah is concerned, is measured as in terms of a fig quantity, when it comes to seeds, carrying out even less than a fig quantity will result in a Shabbos Hotzah violation. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, Chamisha, one who carries out five Zarone Gino would be in violation of Hotzah. The Mishnah continues at the top of Omid Beis. So we continue with Omid Beis. Zera Kishuin Shnayim. Kishuin seeds, apparently they are of greater significance. So even two Kishuin seeds, Kishuin is a type of vegetation, even two results in an Iser of Hoitzah. Zera Diluin Shnayim, likewise the Diluin, another type of vegetation, two Diluin seeds would be a Shabbos violation. Zera Pul Hamitzri, a pul hamitzri, another kind of vegetation, two seeds, is a hotzah violation. Hamotzi chagov chai tohor kol shehu, one who carries out a live, kosher variety chagov. A chagov is in the locust family. In the locust family, there are some types that are kosher, and the signs of their kashrus are described in the third parak of Maseches Chulin. For our purposes, though, all we have to relate to is that there is a kosher variety. Whatever size it is, if one carries it out on Shabbos, a live kosher variety locust, he will be in violation of Hoitzah. Mace, if however the locust is dead, then kegrogeres. Grogeres is the fig quantity, which, since we're talking about a kosher variety locust, we're talking about something that one would be allowed to eat. So if the locust is dead and he carries out a fig quantity of it, he'll be in violation. So that you see from this that there is greater stringency associated with a live one more so than a dead one. Because when it comes to a live one, the shiur, the quantity, was kolshu, even a negligible amount. Tzipores krumim, this type of creature called tzipores krumim, is bain chaya, bain mesa, kol shehu. Whether it's alive or even if it's dead, even a negligible amount. Shematznian osa lirefua. It was put aside, it was put away. People would store it, would care for it for medicinal purposes. Rav Yehuda Omer, af hamotzi chagov chai tomei, kol shehu. Unlike the Tanakama, who made a reference to spoke only about a kosher variety, live chagov, Rav Yehuda says even an unkosher variety, live chagov, kolshu in amount, a negligible amount, results in a Shabbos violation. Why? Shematzino so lekotan lischok bo. A child will keep it as a pet, as in, to play with it. So it has significance. Viromini, we raise a contradiction, and we'll explain the contradiction as we go on in the Mishnah and in this source. We're talking again about different substances and their resultant Shabbos violation for Hoitzah. Zevel, fertilizer material, v'chol hadak, fine earth, kidei lizabel kelach shel kruv, divrei Rabbi Akiva. The amount that would result in a Shabbos violation would be the amount to fertilize a kruv stalk. And chomelumrim kidei lizabel kresha, the amount to fertilize a kresha. For our purposes, though, without translating what a kruv and a kresha are, what we have to emphasize is that a kelach shel kruv is a smaller quantity than that which was mentioned in the Mishnah. When we were learning the Mishnah, we saw that as far as the chiyuv hoitzah on seeds, there's no chiyuv on a singular seed. In other words, according to the Mishnah, a singular plant or sprout would have no significance. When it comes to the issue featured in this Tanaic source, it seems a kelach shel kruv, even a singular sprout, has significance. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Papa, ha de zriya, ha de lo zriya. If you're dealing with zriya, means something that's already growing, it's planted and is already growing, so even a singular sprout has significance, resulting in the violation of hoitzah if one carries out enough fertilizer to fertilize that singular sprout. However, ha de lo zriya, if you're dealing with something that hasn't been planted yet, so a singular seed would not have significance. People do not trouble themselves to carry out a singular a blade or sprout in order to plant it. People don't trouble themselves when it comes to the initial planting if you're dealing with only one. Therefore, with something that's not been planted yet, the Isur Hoitzah is only if you carry out what the shiurim that you saw in the Mishnah, which was more than one. Zera kishuin, tonu rabbanan, hamotzi garinin, one who carries out seeds. Rashi points out the garinim are a reference to garine tamora. These are date pits. Im linatia, if he's carrying them out for planting them, shtayim. So if one carries out two, that is the quantity that would result in the Isur Hoitzah. Im lachila, if he's carrying them out for eating, we'll see shortly that these date pits were a type of animal feed. So if he carries them out for eating, kimlo pi chazir, the amount of, let's say, mouth, a pig's mouthful, the kamo mlo pi chazir. Well, in practical terms, how much is a malo pi chazir, is a pig's mouthful? Achas, a singular date pit. Im lahasik, if his purpose in carrying out the date pit is for fuel purposes, then it would be the amount, kedei levashel beitzak kala, the amount to cook up a chicken's egg. And it would mean probably mean an amount to cook up a fig quantity of egg. Im lecheshbon shtayim, if he uses date pits in calculation, in keeping track of quantities, so shtayim, two date pits. The achirim omrim chomesh. Achirim say that people don't need to keep track of numbers when it's anything less than five. That up till four, people keep four numbers in their head. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamotzi Shnei Nimin, Mizonav Asus Umizonav Hapora, if one would carry out two strands of horse tail or cow tail hairs, Chayov, two strands would result in a Shabbos Hoitzah violation. Why? What is their significance? Shematznin Oison Lenishbin. People use them for making nets that are used in capturing birds. Miksha shell chazir. Here we talk about pig hair bristles. These are hairs that are called firm hairs that grow along the spine of a pig. How many strands or fibers would be a Shabbos violation? So the source says, achas, even a singular miksha shel chazir. Tzurei dekel shtayim. Rashi explains that the tzurei dekel are palm, called palm fibers that are stripped of their bark. And these palm strands are used in making baskets. So the tzurei dekel, how many of these would be a Shabbos violation of hoitzah? Shtayim, two of them. Turei dekel, achas. Rashi says, Turi Dekel, Dakin Mitsuri. These are fibers of the palm that are thinner than the Tsuri that was just mentioned before. And they come from the sieve, from the network that grows around the palm, within the palm tree, around its, around the trunk of the palm tree. Tziporas krumim bein chayo bein mesa kolshu. The Mishnah mentioned that the tziporas krumim creature would be a Shabbos hutzal violation, whether it's alive or dead, even if it's a kolshu. My tziporas krumim, what is that? Omarav palya biari. It's known as that. That's the name palya biari. That's what it's that's what its Gemara name is. Omarabai umishtakach bedikla. The Chad Navra, it is to be found in a young palm tree, the Avdi Lo L'Chuchma, and it's used for Chuchma. Chuchma is, we'll say, in the realm of wisdom. Rashi says, Liftoach Alev, to open up one's heart. And we'll see more as the Gemara describes how it was processed for this benefit. Ochil lei lepalga diamine. One would eat this tziporas krumim. He would eat the right hand side of it, the right half of it. Upalga de smole, the left half of it. Rumi lo begufso de nechosha. He would place it in a copper tube. The gufso is a tube. The chosim lo beshisen gushpanki. And shisen is literally 60. Rashi explains it's not to be taken literally, but rather. Chosim is to seal up the copper tube with many seals, several layers of seals. The toli lo beibro desmola, and the person who is we'll call him the patient, the one that wants to benefit from the wisdom powers of the tziporas krumim, would then take this copper tube that's sealed and tie it to his left arm. V'simonech, in order to remember that this person who needs wisdom is to tie it to his left side, remember the following pasuk: Lev chacham limino v'lev ksil lismolo. The heart of the wise man is to his right. The heart of the fool, the ksil is the fool, is to his left. Now, the fool is someone who needs wisdom, and you see in the pasuk the fool is associated with smolo, and hence the person who is seeking the wisdom should attach the tube to his left side. And the Gemara continues in describing this entity: the chochim kama de boy, the gomar kama de boy. A person who follows what we just said can it opens his mind to as much as he wants, and he can learn as gomar, as he can learn as much as he wants. The ochil le leidoch palga, and after he achieves the wisdom that he seeks to achieve, he is then to eat the other half, the half that was in the tube. The e lo, if he doesn't eat it, if he doesn't finish off the process, he doesn't eat it, Ma'akir Talmudah, whatever he learned as a result of this will then be forgotten from him. He'll lose everything he learned as a result of having started this process. Rebuta Omer, Af Hamotzi V'chule. The topic that we've entitled as our Nosei for this section, on the side, under our Nosei heading, we've written Machlokis. There was a controversy in the Mishnah, E Matznian Chagov Tomei. Do people set aside, preserve, store, or safe keep unkosher variety locusts? In the Mishnah, so we saw that the Tanakama featured only the Chagov Chai Tohor. Only the Tohor one is having significance, dead or alive, with their respective quantities. Reb Yehuda added into the picture the Chagov Tomei. So the Gemara now relates to this Machlokes, and we'll see the use of a double underline as the Gemara unfolds, and under the Mivneh heading we have written Shlavim Lahazbir Shitas HaTanakama. We're going to see in stages the explanation of the Tanakama, the first opinion of Mishnah, Loma Lo Matzni and Chagov Chai Tomei. Why do people not put aside live, unkosher variety chagovim. So if we focus on unkosher variety locust that is alive, the Tanakhama said, didn't make reference to it. In other words, there would be no Iser Hoitza on it because people don't put it away. The Tanakhama Sovar Lo. The Tanakhama holds they don't matznia it. They don't put it aside. And therefore, it's a demonstration of its non-significance. People don't care about, don't care to keep it. My Taima. Well, according to the Tanakhama, why is it that people don't care to keep a Chag of Tomei Chai? Answer, Dilma Ochile. Well, we're afraid that he might come to eat it. So people, in their fear of their coming to eat it, they'd rather not keep it around to begin with. Question, I Hochi Tohor Nami. Well, if that's the case, then what about a kosher variety, Chag of Chai? That also should be something that's called Ein Matzin. People don't put away. Tohor, is there not a... We'll see. The Gemara has a question. This question lasts a couple of lines, and let's just wait to see how it develops. We have a long question marking to the immediate side of the Gemara text, and you can see that we need to go through all of these lines in order to appreciate the whole question. The question is, if the Dilma Ochile is the reason the Tanakhama says people don't keep a Chag of Chai, a Chag of Tomei, then the same leniency, we should say, should be associated with the Chag of Tor as well. Deha Rav Kahana, Havikoyim Kamei de Rav, there was an incident where Rav Kahana was in the presence of Rav, Havikomavir Shushivo Apume. And there was a shushiva is a kosher variety type locust that was flying around his mouth. Amale shakli, so he said, take it away from me. The lo lemru, people should not say mechal ko'ochil le, that I intend to eat it, and by eating it, the ko'ovar mishum bal tishaksu es nafsho sechem, eating live locusts is something that falls under the general prohibition of Baal Tishaksu. One should not conduct himself in a disgusting or despicable fashion. So you see that Rav was very concerned of not being suspect as of one who eats this live kosher variety locust. So there, even though there's no Isser of Aver Minachai, as Rashi points out, but nevertheless, there's an Isser of eating this thing, a live kosher variety locust. So, why is it then that the Tana Kama says that there is a Chiyuv Hoitza on it? Is it not so that people would not keep them around? Elo, Dilma Mayis V'Ochil Lei. When it comes to a Chagov, what we were focusing on is why is it that the Tanakhama says that a Chag of Tomei, a Chai, is something people don't keep around. So if it's a question of eating it as it is, well then the same thing should apply to the Chag of Tohor Chai. And yet we see that's not the case. So what is the problem with the Chag of Tomei Chai? So here the Gemara gives a second explanation. We're afraid the Chag of Tomei, that's, it might be alive now, but it might die, and the Ochile will come to eat it. So the Tanakhama's position on a Chag of Tomei Chai is that there's no Iser Hoitza. People don't keep it around, because if they keep it around and it dies, they'll come to eat it. Rabbi Huda, who says there is a prohibition of Hoitza, an Iser Hoitza, on a Chag of Tomei Chai. What about the fact that, well, if it dies, you know, he might come to eat it, and therefore he wouldn't keep it around in the first place? That's not so. Emias, Rebuta says, if it dies, don't forget, why did the person have the Chag of, according to Rav Yehuda, why did he have the Chag of Chai Tomei in the first place? That was a toy for the kid, for his child. What happens to kids' pets when they die? Doesn't everyone know that children have a whole funeral for them? Koton mispad sofidle. The child, when his chagov, when his little unkosher grasshopper or locust dies, he will eulogize it. And as such, he won't. It's not customary to come to eat it. That's, therefore, Rebuta, because of the fact that the
the kohen will give it a state funeral, people aren't going to come to eat it, and therefore the Chag of Tomei Chai is something in Reb Yehuda's constellation will keep around as a toy. And therefore, there is an Iser Hoitso on it as a result of it being something that one would matznia. That concludes the ninth Perek of Shabbos, and we now continue with Perek HaMatznia, the tenth Perek. HaMatznia Lezera uledugma lerefua vehotzio b'Shabbos chayav b'kol shehu. Someone who set aside something for planting. Let us imagine that someone intended or assigned significance to a singular seed. Earlier in today's shiur, we learned that a singular seed that hasn't been planted doesn't have hotsa'ah significance. However, if someone intentionally set aside a singular seed, the Mishnah here speaks about a kol shehu, which we'll say here means a singular seed, or ledugma might be a dye for something, even a very small amount, or something that he uses, or dugma could mean the seed that he set aside for as a sample to show people what he has. If he's a seed vendor, he might show him what kind of seeds he has, or he sets aside for medicinal purposes. And after having set it aside for any of these purposes, and then he carried it out on Shabbos, chayav b'kol shehu, he'll be chayav even if it's a negligible amount, and that's because he assigned importance to it. The chol adam ain chayav alav elo kishiuro. When it comes to other people, they won't be in violation of hoitza unless they carry out the amount for these items as specified in the mishnayos that we've already learned. Chozar v'chniso. Imagine someone had carried out a seed, a singular seed, because he set it aside for planting purposes. While he was outside, though, he changed his mind. Doesn't want to plant it. He then carries it from outside to the inside. That's also a hotsa issue. However, eino chayav elo kishiro. He won't be in violation unless the amount is like the amount specified in the Mishnayos, the previous Mishnayos. So in this last scenario, when he carried it in from indoors to outdoors, he still had the planting intention, and with regard to his original intention, he had assigned significance, his personal importance to the singular seed. But in carrying it back indoors from outside to the inside, he wasn't carrying it anymore with a planting intention. Therefore, the shiur, the quantity of significance regarding seeds, would be as was specified in the Mishnayos that we've already learned, but not a singular seed. The Gemara, Loma Lei Lemisni Hamatznia. Why did the Mishnah speak or specify one who set it aside? Lisni, it could have taught Hamotzi Lizera uledugma ulerfua chayav b'chol shehu. Someone who carried out a singular seed for planting or to show someone or for medicinal purposes, he's chayav even if it's a kol shehu. Namely, even if he didn't initially set it aside, which is implied by the word matznia, but he simply carried it out right now with planting intentions, that should be enough to create culpability. The point being, as Rashi explains, we look at the Rashi at the fourth wide line under the Gemara text, Lisni hamotzi zera kol shehu chayav v'af agav delo atznei mikoraloch, even though he didn't initially set it aside, the singular seed, for this purpose, to deboinon shiura haynu tam gar moron shenom torech lahotzi nimu achas lizriya. The whole reason for assigning specific amounts is based on the svara, the logic that a person doesn't trouble himself to carry out a singular seed. Hilkoch Motzi Stam Potter. Therefore, one who simply carries out seeds without any specific intention will be exempt Ad Shebo Shiur, until there is the specified amount. Avol Zeh Shehotzi Nimo Achas Lizriya Behedya Goli Daiti Detorach Vachshavei. But this character, this person, who carried out a singular seed with the fresh intention, with the immediate intention to plant it, has revealed his mindset that he considers significant the singular seed. So the question once again is, what is the purpose of the Mishnah saying Hamatsnia, someone who originally set it aside, namely the singular seed? Could it not have said simply one who carries out a singular seed for planting will be chayav? Omar Abaye. Abaye explains Hochav Mayaskinon, the case of the Mishnah. Kigon Shehitznio. We're talking about a person that had set aside the seed, the singular seed, b'shochach lo mitznio, but forgot why he put it aside. V'hashto komapik le stamo. And right now, he's carrying it out without. He's carrying it out to carry it from one place to another, as Rashi says, to carry it from one house to another. So he carries it from his house into the street with the intention of bringing it into another house. Again, we're talking about a seed that he originally set aside for planting purposes, to plant the singular seed. In the meantime, he forgot why he set it aside. He carries it out now in this state of forgetfulness. The Gemara continues at the top of Tzadi Aleph. Mahu detemo betuli botla machshav asoi. You might have thought that since he forgot why he set it aside originally, so that in effect cancels his original intention. Komash malon kol ha'oiseh. We are informed by the use of the word hamatzniya in the Mishnah that when people behave, when people act, al das rishonu oseh, they're acting with the original mindset. In other words, they don't, unless a person intentionally undoes his original plan, the original plan is considered in place. Omar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Mechayev Hoya Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir will hold someone guilty, af b'motzi chito achas lizriya, even someone who carries out a singular wheat grain for planting. We have to point out that our Mishnah has no name in it, and what we have as a general rule that a stam Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir. So Shmuel is mentioning that our Mishnah is holding responsible someone who carries out a singular wheat grain as well. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, Kol Shehu Tnan. Shmuel is seemingly telling us something that's obvious. The Mishnah said, Kol Shehu. And Kol Shehu means a negligible amount, even a singular seed. So what is Shmuel revealing to us? The Gemara answers, Mahu Detemo, Kol Shehu, Lafuke Migrogeres. Without Shmuel, I might have thought that the use of the term Kol Shehu in the Mishnah is simply to the exclusion of a fig quantity, which is the standard quantity for food-related violations. For example, cooking a food or carrying out a food. However, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there would be no chutzah violation until you carry out an olive quantity. Noting, of course, an olive quantity is less than a grogeres quantity. So the Mishnah's use of kol shehu, I would have thought, is simply to the exclusion of the larger fig quantity, but still, there would be no culpability until he carries out at least an olive quantity. Komash Molon, Shmuel comes to tell us that is not so. Namely, that even a singular wheat grain that one carries out for planting purposes will result in a Hotzah violation. Maskiflo Rav Yitzchok Breider of Yehuda. Elo Me'ata. Well, if you're saying that everything depends on a person's mindset, that which a person assigns importance to, only that
it is that which has significance regarding the hotzah violation. So then, chishev lahotzi kol beso hachinami dolo mechayev adamapik lekulei. If someone has an intention to carry out his entire house contents in one shot. Let's imagine that a person intends to carry out all of his electronic toolware. Are you going to say that he's not going to be chayev until he carries all of them out? Rashi says, "Chishev lahotzi kol beisel bohitzo achas, delo achshavo elo imkein hotzi kulo keachad." That there would be no significance until he carries them all out at once. Are you going to say that if he would carry out only part of that, he will not be chayev? So imagine that a person intended to carry out his hammer, his screwdriver, his saw, his drill in one shot. Well then, are you saying that someone like that, if he carries out only his hammer and screwdriver, he won't be chayev? The Gemara says, that's not so. Hasam botla daito etzel kol adam. There, his mindset is void, is considered of no significance relative to the mindset of all other people. In other words, all other people will assign significance even to a singular drill or a singular tool. And therefore, even though this person's intention is to carry all of them out at once, we know that there is a general popular acceptance of the significance of a singular tool as well. So therefore, there will be a chiyuv Shabbos even for carrying out one tool, even though this person's intention was for carrying all of them out at once. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.